Let's turn back again to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Last Lord's Day, we were looking at the subject of practical evangelism. Today, we want to look at the subject of personal evangelism. Personal evangelism. But before we come to the preaching of the Word of God, let's seek His help in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we pray, O God, that today you'll help us to speak a word for thee. Lord, before we can speak any word to others, we pray, O God, that you'll speak a word to us. We ask, O God, that through thy word today that you'll speak. Speak, Lord, in those living tones, O God, we pray. Lord, speak. O God, we pray that we will hear today. We ask, O God, that you'll remove all distractions. Remove all, Lord, those things that may be hindering, Lord, those thoughts of yesterday, those plans for tomorrow. We ask, O God, for this time that you'll bring every thought into captivity. And we pray, O God, that you'll bless our coming together today. Bless the word of God to our souls. We pray, O God, that you'll speak to us and speak through us and thrill our hearts and encourage us, challenge us. We ask of thee, hear and answer prayer. We pray this in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. Over these next few weeks, as we have been announcing in the will of God, we're planning to evangelize as much of this local area as possible. The streets, the homes around the church and further afield in order to reach out with the written word of the gospel. And to reach out with the invitation to our upcoming gospel mission. And seeking by God's help and by the Spirit of the Lord to get people into the mission. And most of all to see them won for Christ. At the moment we have 5,000 invitations to distribute. And so the appeal goes out again to each and to every one of us to be busy. And to get out and to get those invites through the doors here in East Belfast. This venture is what we might term mass evangelism. It's groups of people going to other groups of people who are largely unknown and unfamiliar to us and seeking to reach them with the gospel. That type of evangelism has a very vital and a very important role to play in reaching the lost. However, for the focus and the course of our message today, there is another type of evangelism that I want us to look at by the help of God. And this type of evangelism, I believe, is so effective in reaching others with the gospel. It is personal evangelism. One-to-one evangelism. One child of God speaking to a friend, a neighbor, a family member, a work colleague, a school friend, and speaking to them on a personal one-to-one basis about the Lord Jesus Christ. And using that relationship, and using that connection that you have with those people in order to bring them to Christ, in order to invite them to this gospel mission. Because you see, folks, there are people that you will reach with the gospel that I or no one else will be able to reach. There are people that you have built up a relationship with. There are people that you have a rapport with that others do not have. There are people that you would have an impact on for the gospel that others don't have. And there are people that you will be able to get into this gospel mission that others would not, humanly speaking, be able to get into the mission because you have that good relationship and that friendship with them. And so I would encourage you to use that relationship and seek to evangelize and seek to invite them in because personal evangelism is so effective and so powerful in the hands of God. And so as we consider this subject of personal evangelism, we want to look at one of the types of this evangelism in the Word of God. The account of Scripture that we read this morning concerning Philip And this Ethiopian eunuch has, I believe, all the ingredients necessary and essential in personal evangelism, in reaching out to others with the gospel on a one-to-one basis. Therefore, as we consider the subject today of personal evangelism, I want you to notice, first of all, with me here, the command received. The command received. If you look at those words there in verse number 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go." Here is a very clear command to Philip. There's no mistaking it. It's very clear. It's very concise. There's a soul, although Philip doesn't know it at this stage, there's a soul to be reached with the gospel. There's a soul who's hungry after the word of God. There's a soul who's concerned about the things of God. There's one who is in need of direction and instruction. And as we consider this command, I want you to see further with me here its directive. Arise. Arise. The Lord directed Philip to arise. In other words, he's saying to Philip, there is a work for you to do. There is something you need to do. There is someone that you need to reach out to. Now, Philip, of course, had been very busy in the matter of soul winning. If you read the earlier verses in the 8th chapter of Acts, you will see how that God used him mightily in the city of Samaria to reach others with the gospel. And here God is calling to him again and calling him to go and to reach more people. You see, folks, there's no time for slacking in the matter of soul winning, because souls are perishing, souls are dying. Souls need to hear the gospel that we have to proclaim to them. Therefore, we need to arise. And it's the same command that God gives to every child of God today, and indeed to all of his church. Arise. Arise. It indicates arising from a position of inactivity to one of activity. And child of God today, we need to be busy in the Master's business. We need to be busy. We cannot afford to be slothful and just leaving it to others. We all need to be busy. Every single one of us. We all need to arise. We all need to heed this directive and this command to be busy in the work of God. Because you see, the workers of evil, the advocates of wickedness, they're busy today. The devil is busy today. Oh, he's not sitting back and doing nothing. And so, folks, the church of Jesus Christ needs to arise and by the power of God and with the enablement of God's Spirit, overcome those workers of iniquity, that clamoring, that shouting of the world. We need to arise. As Paul said, writing to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5 and 14, "Arise, thou that sleepest." You see, folks, there's no point in complaining in all that's going on around us if we're not going to roll up our sleeves and get involved in the work ourselves. God uses us, his people, as his instruments to reach this world that's lost and dying in sin. So we need to arise. We need to be active in this matter of soul winning and personal evangelism. That's the great need of the hour. Because for too long the church has been silent. And for too long the enemy has gained the upper hand. And folks, we need to take the battle and take the message of the gospel and counteract the works of Satan and of sin. And no greater message have we to do that with than the message of the gospel. What a powerful tool. What a powerful message that is in our hands. Because at the heart of the gospel, as we will see in a moment, is the cross work of Christ. His atoning sacrifice, His cleansing blood. And praise God today, there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And we need to arise. O church, arise, the hymn writer said, and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ, our captain, reaching out to those in darkness. Its directive, arise. But notice as well there its direction, the command, its direction. Arise and go toward the south. You see, the Spirit of God very clearly was directing Philip to the very place and the very person that needed to be reached. And the Spirit of God still guides us. And the Spirit of God still directs us in the matter of personal evangelism. Can I ask you to do something in regard to this gospel mission? And what I ask you to do, I vow before you, this people today, I will do also. I want you to arm yourself with the invitations. And I want you to pray in the matter of reaching souls for the Lord. Lord, lead me to some soul today. Over these next few days and weeks, and this concentrated time of gospel preaching, every day, will you pray, Lord, lead me to some soul that I can reach with the gospel. Lead me to those who need to hear the message of the gospel, those I work with, those that we meet every day, those in the shops, those in the schoolyard, those beside us. Lord, lead me to them. And take the invitation and go and win them for Christ. Lead me to some soul today. And teach me, Lord, just what to say. And in this matter, the Lord will certainly not be found wanting. I know it's often hard to know where to start. Well, one of the simple things we can do is just take that invitation to the mission and just place it into their hand and just simply say, there's an invitation to a gospel mission that we're having. Here's a wee leaflet that will be of help to you. And just go through the mission, go through the leaflet. Explain where it's been held, when it's been held. And go through the little gospel message that is contained within it. And seek to keep that conversation centered on the gospel and centered to Christ. And God will use that. Now, that doesn't always mean, folks, that people will respond positively. But even if people don't respond positively, and maybe they'll say, well, we'll see, or maybe they'll just say, I don't want that. Well, don't let that put you off. Go again and again and keep inviting people. Maybe people you've been inviting to the church for years and they've said, well, I'll come, and well, they've never come. Keep going to them. Keep inviting them. And even make arrangements with them to provide the transport and bring them into the mission. We need to go out and each one of us personally seek to win people for the Lord. And as we go, pray that the Lord would lead us to the right people, give us opportunities to speak for Christ. Pray that the Lord will so organize circumstances that will enable us to start a conversation about the gospel. And folks, as God gives us opportunities, let's grasp them. Let's seize them. One of the Puritans, Alexander Simpson, he said, God provides time and opportunities for all of us to serve Him. Let us grasp them. They may never return. And here's an ideal opportunity for you to tell someone of Christ. And let's take those opportunities that the Lord gives us. And I believe the Lord gives us opportunities every day to speak of Him. And on that basis, seeking to invite them into our gospel mission. Arise and go. That was the command received in this matter of personal soul winning. But I want you to see further with me here the compliance displayed. In verse number 27, we see the compliance that Philip displayed to this command. It's summed up in those words at the beginning of verse 27, and he, that is Philip, arose and went. He did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. There was no debating. There was no discussion. There was no delay. He just went at the Lord's bidding. Now, it's important to notice, as we pointed out a few moments ago, that at this stage, Philip did not know what was going to happen. Philip was involved in this great crusade, this citywide revival meeting in Samaria. And yet the Lord tells him, I want you to leave that, and I want you to go somewhere else. Oh, Philip didn't say to the Lord, well, what's the details now? What's the plan here? Philip just went. And as we notice his compliance, I want you to see his eagerness. As I read through those few words there in verse number 27, Philip, and he arose and went. I could almost sense the excitement in Philip, the eagerness, the anticipation within him. What is God going to do now? What great things are going to take place? It was a sense of excitement, a sense of adventure. Yes, God, well, he had seen God already working in Samaria. And he believed God was going to work again, and he didn't want to miss it. He was enthused about the work. He was excited about the work, and he relished with great joy and anticipation of what great things God was going to do. I trust, dear child of God, you're excited about this gospel mission. Of what great things God is going to do through it. And let's not miss the opportunity. Let's not just say it's another gospel mission and let it pass us by. Let's get enthused about the work of God. Let's get excited about the work of God. Come every night expecting God to work. Come every night praying that this will be the night God will step in and God will work mightily. You notice that eagerness as well in verse number 30. Look what it says, and Philip ran thither to him. Philip ran thither to him. Having been led by the Lord to this Ethiopian eunuch, this sinner, Philip ran to him. Oh, may we display such eagerness in the matter of personal evangelism, running after sinners. Oh, we run to many things, involved in many things, and in and of themselves, that's okay. But are we running after the lost? Are we running after the lost? Here was a man and he was out of breath running after sinners. May God make us out of breath running after the lost as well. And again, there's that sense of anticipation. God's going to do something great here. And Philip runs after this man. There is his eagerness, but there's also his readiness. We see that in the response of Philip to the command to arise and go. He went readily and he went willingly. He didn't know the details. He just left them all with the Lord. You see, we learn the will of God as we do the will of God. And God wants us all to be witnesses. God wants us all to be evangelists. God's not going to call everybody to be a preacher. God's not going to call everybody to be a missionary. And you say, but I can't work amongst the children or the young people. That's fair enough, but you are still called to be a witness. To be a witness. And we need to be constantly led of the Spirit to the place that God wants us to be. If I can just digress for a second and say to anyone here who's sensing the call of God in their life, and God is calling you to do something, perhaps even enter training for full-time service. If that's what God is calling you to do, you've searched out the will of God, then do it. Oh, don't try to reason out all the fine details. All those matters that do cause concern from a human point of view, just be willing to do what God is calling you to do. Philip was ready. Philip was available to do a work for God. I wonder today, are you available to do what God wants you to do? Or would you say, I can't do very much? Well, the widow woman didn't have much to give in support of the Lord's work, but she gave her all, her might. It was all she had. But all that she had, she gave to the Lord. And folks, all that we have, and at best, it's little, it's nothing. But all that we have and all that we are, let's give it back to Him. Maybe in a practical way, you can do things for this mission. Bringing people in to the mission. Driving the bus, making the tea some of the nights, coming every night, coming to the times of prayer to the mission every night. We're all laborers together. Different parts we play, but they're all vital. They're all essential in the work for God. Are you available to the Lord to do what you can to reach others with the gospel? Are you going to arise and go? And I encourage you to do that. And take a supply of the invites and pray the Lord will lead you to souls, lead you to people. People that you know. And ask them into the mission and use the invitation as a way of starting the conversation. The command received, the compliance displayed. But I want you to see further with me here, the conversation instigated. Philip runs to this man. He comes to this man and he begins a conversation with him. And here again we see that we ought to be always looking for opportunities to begin a conversation about the gospel. And as we begin that conversation, always do it with a smile. Oh, let others see Christ in us. Our facial expressions radiate our love. A love for Christ and a joy in the message that we're hoping and wanting to deliver. Be friendly, be approachable. Having the right attitude and the right approach to personal evangelism, it's so vital. But notice the example here in this conversation that Philip had with this eunuch. Notice some practical lessons for us in engaging with the one we're seeking to evangelize. First of all, notice in this conversation it challenged the sinner. At the end of verse number 30, Philip comes to the Ethiopian eunuch and he notices that he's reading the scriptures. Philip is observant. And we ought to be observant as well in the matter of personal evangelism. Taking note of the surroundings in which people are and even using those surroundings as a means of instigating the conversation. But he took notice of the surroundings. He took notice of the situation that this man was in. And he issued the challenge to him. Look at the end of verse 30. Understandest thou what thou readest? Here's Philip using the circumstances that he finds the sinner in order to challenge him about his present circumstances. Philip here is preparing to give a personal witness for Christ. He challenges the sinner in a pleasant manner about his activity, about what he is doing. And folks, as in personal evangelism, as we speak to others about the gospel, we need to challenge the sinner as well about their current position. Remember, every time you go to someone, speak to them about the gospel, remember that person is lost, perishing, dying. And we need to be honest with them. We cannot shy away from the problem of sin. Oh, no, I know there's going to be a reaction against it. And you challenge people about their sin, there'll be a reaction against it. But in a faithful and in a friendly manner, challenge the lost. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. It challenged the sinner. But notice further, this conversation, it centered on the Savior. It centered on the Savior. Notice where the eunuch is reading from, Isaiah 53. Verse 32 tells us that. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. That great prophetic chapter dealing with the death and the crucifixion of Christ. Notice the actions of Philip in verse 31. He came up and he sat with the man. He sat with him. Oh, how blessed it is just to come alongside sinners and sit with them and bring to them the message of the cross. And then notice in verse 35 what he did. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. That's what we need to do, folks. That's what we need to do. Child of God, we need to open our mouths and tell the sinner about Christ. We can talk about many things. Talk about this and talk about that, but it'll not challenge them about their soul. We need to talk to them about Christ. This conversation centered on Christ. Remember what we talked about last week in our message. Don't get into arguments about political theories or the religious thinking of man. Always bring the sinner to Christ. Bring them to the cross. And it's the cross that changed and challenged and convicted and essentially converted this man. That word preached there in verse 35, it's key to understanding what Philip did. And not only is it key, but I also believe it's most encouraging to us in the matter of personal evangelism. The meaning of that word preached there in verse 35 doesn't mean that Philip stood up in the chariot and started to preach a 3-point, 4-point, 5-point sermon to him. No, he just drew alongside and in a conversational manner shared the gospel with this man. He took him by the hand and brought him to Calvary. He spoke of the humiliation of Christ. He spoke of the death of Christ. He spoke of the resurrection of Christ. He spoke of Jesus. And as we go and seek to win others for Christ, let's tell them of Christ. Because nothing else and no one else will do their souls any good. And as we go out over these next few weeks and seek to reach out, we reach out with no other message but the message of Christ and his cross. And you can stand on a doorstep from morning to night and argue about evolution. There's nothing wrong with that. And debate about all of those things. But if you fail to bring the sinner to the cross, we need to tell them of Christ. Tell them of Jesus Christ who died, shed his blood, they can be saved. the command received, the compliance displayed, the conversation instigated, but finally, as we close, notice the conversion witnessed. A wonderful conversion took place that day. This man, this Ethiopian eunuch, was marvelously saved by the grace of God because a man by the name of Philip was obedient to the call of God and went to talk to him about the Savior. Now, not everyone will have that positive response. Oh, to God that it were different. Not everybody will want to hear what we have to say. People will reject it. People will react against it, and perhaps fiercely. And you could well get doors slammed in your face. But just because people don't want to hear this message doesn't mean that we don't go and tell them the message. And don't be put off. They rejected Christ, so they're going to reject us as well. But who knows? Who knows what the Lord can do through your going to one sinner and telling them of Christ? You could be the means in God's hand of bringing that lost one to the Savior. May that be the case through our personal witness and our evangelizing. And all the message will be rejected. Yet I believe there are souls out there just waiting for us to go and tell them. People out there whose lives are wrecked and ruined and they have nowhere to turn to. And they do not know where to turn. Sin has such a grip on them, such a hold on them. Sin has ruined their life. Sin has destroyed their home, destroyed their family. And they're at wit's end corner, and we have a message that'll change their lives. Let's go and tell them. We need to arise and go. Notice the declaration of this conversion very quickly. The end of verse 37. The man says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here's a man having exercised faith in Christ. Romans 10 and 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Here was an open confession of this man's now salvation. I believe. There's the demonstration of it in verse 38. This man desired to be baptized. Oh, he knew baptism didn't merit salvation. It followed salvation. And here was a man who was spiritually discerned, so in tune with what he knew the commands of God were, that he was saved now he needed to be baptized. And then finally there is the delight of this conversion. Look at those words at the end of verse 39. He went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. You see, when a sinner meets the Savior, there'll be a change. There was a concern there in those verses that we read in the first part of that section of chapter 8. He didn't understand what he was reading. There was a concern, but now there's a rejoicing. There's a change. And you see, whenever a sinner is saved by God's grace, there is a change. Because when the Lord saves someone, he doesn't leave them in the way that he found them. He changes them, and that change is evident for all to see. May this time of gospel preaching, this gospel mission, be a time when God, when people will leave this house rejoicing, having met Christ as their Savior. And even before the mission commences, even this very day, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you can leave this place, this house of worship today, rejoicing, having found Jesus Christ to be your Savior. May that be the case. Let's take the gospel message to those lost in their sin, seek to win them for Christ. And here's a wonderful opportunity for us all to get involved in personal evangelism, speaking on a one-to-one basis with others about the Savior. We need to arise and we need to go. Will you come and join with us? Will you come and help us? And as we go, God goes with us and God bless us. And who knows what God is going to do? It's already been prayed this day already that God would do that new thing. That motto text of our church for this year. Let's believe God to do that new thing and see souls wonderfully saved. May we all be stirred up. May we all be motivated, enthused and excited about the work of God that lies before us. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask, O God, that you'll help us in this matter of personal evangelism. Lord, we pray that you'll lead us to souls. Lead us, Lord, to those that are needy, wretched, and ruined in sin. Lord, help us, O God, to tell them of Christ. In all of our conversations, may we point them to the Savior. Father, we pray that you'll unite us as a congregation, that over these next few weeks we'll be busy inviting others into the mission and using every opportunity that the Lord gives to us to tell others of Christ. Challenge us, we pray. Motivate us and energize us by thy Holy Spirit and enthuse us about the work of God. Hear and answer prayer. We pray this in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen.